From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of June 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net. Joe Jansen, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, will discuss weather premiums in the marketplace. He'll define that phrase and tell us a little bit about the historical data and how producers can use it to help them market a crop. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast, that with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today finished at $6.62, down 13 cents. September at 582 and a quarter, 11 lower in December, down 6 and a quarter at 566 and a half. July soybeans 13 and a quarter lower, finished at $15.49 and a quarter. November at $14.35, down 10 and a quarter. Bean meal down $2.40 for the day, and the bean oil $1.53 lower. July wheat down 11 and a quarter at $6.76 and a quarter. And the hard red July harvest month there down 9.5 cents at $6.24 and a quarter. Spring wheat July contract 2 cents lower at $7.81. September at $7.86 and a quarter, also down 2 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $118.52.5, 72.5 cents lower. Feeder at $152.95, down 60, rather up 62.5 in the August. And July lean hogs at $119.52.5 higher. Gold futures down 34.5 cents per ounce at $1,875.30 for the day. And crude oil down a penny at $68.82 a barrel. The RBOB at $2.20.2. Matt Bennett at agmarket.net now joins us to discuss what happened in Chicago. It seemed like a strange day to me after all the talk of the heat and lack of rainfall across the Midwest and the move yesterday, and then things turned around today. It was felt more like a turnaround Tuesday rather than a market that's trying to trade the weather. What was your assessment?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting market with the overnight markets. You know, we actually closed corn about 25 cents off of those highs as far as, looking at the front month of July. And so I think there's a lot of rolling out of July from what we're hearing. Some of the big players are rolling out to the SEP and even some to the beef. So pretty interesting move there as far as beans concerned, 40 cents off the highs. So I think a lot of the reason that we backed off is essentially had to do with weather. And so, you know, we continue to hear about, for instance, weather in South America is continues to trim that corn crop. But what's the situation in the U.S.? You know, and yes, we have heat, but if you follow that heat up at this time of the year with some rainfall, certainly is exactly what you want to see. The thing is that there's so many conflicting weather forecasts, it's really hard to figure out, you know, just what's going to happen here.
What do you think producers should do at this point? I mean, they've got a crop in the ground in the Eastern Corn Belt, and I'm going to guess that yours looks really good at this point, but you can tell me whether that's the case or not. You're pretty certain you're off to a good start. Is there anything to think about?
You know, the thing is that yes, we're off to a fantastic start. Best looking crop that I've had here since probably 2012 overall. I mean, at this time, obviously in 2012, you know, whenever corn was knee high, we would have all said it was going to be the best crop we ever seen. But, you know, we never got another rain. So this year has been a different spring. It hasn't been near as warm as what it was in 2012. Obviously, it's been fairly cool, but dry. So it's been a different type of year. It's pretty hard to compare the two, other than the fact that we have trended a little bit drier than normal. I guess my personal opinion is as your crop gets farther along in development, you got to continue to stay proactive on at least locking in some worst case scenarios. Now, I've been a big fan of being very flexible in our marketing plan, but you know, we're going to be pushing up on 50% of our prices quantified. Now, most all of our sales, we've actually got some coverage just in case the market takes off and swings significantly higher this summer with inflation, with, a lot of the pressures that we see in this market that could really exacerbate a move higher. A person has to be careful as to get on one side of the ledger too far.
Let's talk about some of the fundamentals that are in the marketplace. First, export market. China's been absent for a couple of weeks. Do we expect to see them again?
China seems to be really active for a little bit, and then they go quiet. You know, there's no question that those last 2 weeks that we had huge reports last week and the week before, you know, those were for new crop. Definitely nice to see. It tells me that next week we should see some sort of adjustment as far as USDA is concerned on new crop exports. We're running well in advance of the pace that is needed as far as export sales and inspections. We only need to inspect around 50 million bushels, I believe, you know, for the remainder of this marketing year, you know, and we've actually been going through significantly more than, and that's per, on a per week basis. We've been going on quite a bit more than that. So, you know, I think we've been averaging around 75, and that would be metric tons. But bottom line is we've been running really well ahead of pace. So I guess from my vantage point, we're sitting really, really good. The thing is that some of our normal business, we need to make, hopefully make sure that that business is continuing. I'm talking Japan and Mexico. You know, if the Chinese continue to jump in here every once in a while, along with our normal business, I'll tell you what, our exports are going to need a major revision higher, both old crop and more so new.
We do have another question or two, and it's about logistics. Is this related to the export market, throwing soybean into the mix because the Chinese apparently have been buying at a record pace still out of Brazil, or Brazil's been selling at a record pace, whichever way you want to put it. Do we know if the new crop corn purchases are likely to be earlier rather than later in the marketing year? And they'd have to be awful early, I suppose. And does that mean we won't be shipping soybeans out as quickly in the United States as may be expected?
Yeah, that's a great question, because typically we see our beans getting shipped from fall time frame up through about the end of February, whereas we're hearing that a lot of the corn that they've already purchased is expected to be shipped, you know, by that February time frame. So we could definitely be hitting on some major logistics on you know, what's going to get shipped when, what do they need the most, and when do they need it. And so it's going to be a really interesting situation. You know, how much wheat are the Chinese going to continue to feed in their rations? I think that that's something you have to watch very closely. But, you know, regardless, their appetite right now for commodities is nothing short of phenomenal. It's a really good thing for us as producers. There's no guarantee it's going to keep going forever, but our intel would tell us that they're going to actually need quite a bit of corn this next year. Whenever you look at the prices of corn that they're paying, you know, from an interior standpoint, we still feel like they're running shy of the corn that they need to feel good about their situation.
Any really reason to believe that that corn could go out to P&W rather than New Orleans?
Yeah, there's definite reason to think that that's going to happen. Now, it sure seems to me like they've got enough corn bought for that market for the time being. Just talking to people in that part of the world, it seems to me like from here east, maybe there's not as much corn available as what we originally thought there was going to be, whereas up in the northern plains in Nebraska, you know, some of those areas that sometimes might ship into the PNW market actually might have a little bit more corn available than what we've been hearing. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens from a basis standpoint moving forward, you know, because the basis really hasn't acted maybe as frantic as what we thought it might if you were looking at this 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago. But maybe it's still a little bit early yet, because we could get into a major squeeze play as this summer goes on, depending on where you're at in the Midwest.
On basis, soybean this time around, that has slipped over the last couple of weeks. Is there reason for concern?
You know, yes, I would say so. Anytime you see the market kind of backing off a shade like we did a couple weeks ago here, you know, and then the basis backs off at the same time, I guess you've got to be a little bit concerned. But at the same time, Todd, you know, we're still looking at $15 plus beans. And so to expect that basis would hold together in that situation, I don't know. I just think that this bean story is fairly mature. Everyone's known that we were going to be pretty tight for quite some time. And, you know, there's a lot of beans that are available out of South America. So if our crush doesn't stay real strong, you can't really expect a whole lot in the way of exports until we get some new crop on the books. So I guess from my vantage point, if I've still got 1550 and a dollar under basis, 1450 is better than most of the beans I sold last fall. So I don't know that I can get too worked up about basis being weak on beans.
Completely different topic, spring wheat this time around. That was the one that made the run, big run, last time, I think, to what, $24 or maybe close to $25. Any thought about what that looks like this year?
Yeah, I think that spring wheat could be a sleeping giant, actually. You know, from a lot of people we talked to in the plains, you know, there's no question that there could be some abandonment moving forward. Now, just how much is going to be the question, but also you got to be worried about the dryness situation, you know, in the Dakotas, in that part of the world where we do see a lot of spring wheat. There's no doubt that they have major issues. I mean, you're talking super dry weather, and if you don't get some of the rain that they tried to put in the forecast over the noon hour here over the next 10 to 14 days, then I think you start to get super concerned there. So I'm not so sure that I don't think that I would bank on wheat making a run like we did previously. But the thing is that in this environment, with the kind of inflation we've seen, the kind of excitement we've seen around these markets, I think anything's possible. And right now, I sure wouldn't want to be short spring wheat.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Joe Jansen is here. He's an assistant professor on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois in agricultural economics. Thank you, Joe, for being with us. You've written an article for the Farm Doc Daily website that I think producers and others will be really interested in because it gets to the heart of marketing today. And this is about weather risk premium in new crop corn futures and what they look like historically and whether there's anything we can learn from the data. Can you tell me a little bit about how you approach this?
Yeah, so thinking about the sort of the pre-harvest marketing period, that is sort of from, you know, the time when we think about putting the crop in the ground all the way up to harvest. The market often talks about this idea of a weather premium being built into prices. And the basic idea there is, right, that the market is concerned that we get a big negative weather event during the growing season here, and prices are going to run up higher. Now, that's what if we're in the market, we're sitting on a crop in the ground, a new crop corn. We're hoping the market runs higher, but if we get sort of normal production, normal weather, we actually might think that that premium sort of goes away through the pre-harvest marketing period, and prices fall. So the question is sort of, What's the right time to price new crop corn? And is there a weather premium that's built into the market? And so we just sort of look at the historical data, and the historical data says, yeah, there tends to be a small but economically significant weather premium built into new crop corn prices, where prices, particularly now as we just start entering this period where weather news kind of really matters to the market in about early June as planting is wrapping up, there tends to be a small premium in new crop prices relative to the price of that new crop futures contract that prevails at harvest.
So how should farmers approach it?
Well, I mean, if you're sitting on a crop in the ground, right, you have this risk related to the price of December corn futures. Without taking any other position, right, you're long new crop corn. And the historical data suggests that farmers who sell forward receive a small premium over the long run by selling ahead now relative to selling at harvest. Now, the caveat to that, and it's a big one, is that the range of outcomes is wide, right? We can see years like 2020, where forward selling corn, with the benefit of hindsight, looked like a pretty poor decision. However, again, on average, over the long run, there tends to be this premium for selling forward, and that premium tends to be the largest right about now, in early June.
When we are in the marketing year historically, at this point, does the market going forward tend to trade in the same direction? So if it's higher than expected, a weather premium is in place. Does it continue to trade that generally going through the marketing year? And the opposite is if we're looking at good conditions and a big crop and lower prices, do those tend to stay around as well?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's no sort of uniform experience. It always happens this way. And so, that's the big caveat. But we tend to see kind of one big move through the marketing year, whether that's higher or lower. And so, right, in 2020, we saw prices kind of bottom out here now in June, July, and rally as we went into harvest and then in that post-harvest period. But generally, we tend to get sort of one move, higher or lower, as we move through the marketing year.
Are prices and the deviation, and you'll have to explain from what exactly, are they more likely to be higher or lower?
Yeah, so thinking about sort of, this historical experience, thinking about what's the price that you can receive by selling ahead relative to the price if you sold at harvest time. So I'm looking at sort of the price of that new crop futures contract out in late November, early December, as sort of harvest is wrapping up here in the Corn Belt. We're thinking the historical data, again, shows that prices tend to be higher. They deviate above the harvest time price by about, on average, about 12%. But again, the range of outcomes is wide. Sometimes the market can be, right, 50, 60, 70% higher than it is at harvest right now during the growing season. Sometimes it can be 30, 40% below where it ends up being at harvest.
How do farmers manage the risk? What can they do? What tools might they use that probably should be in their toolbox?
Obviously, farmers have some production risk. The data is not saying go ahead and sell everything ahead, forward sell everything. But I think you want to have a couple of tools in your toolbox. The big one being some, forward sales, either using futures hedge to arrive contracts as a tool to lock in the futures component of that price, or forward contracting, getting some sales on the books and opportunities to deliver at harvest if you want to also lock in the basis component of the price.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Joe Jansen. He's an agricultural economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find his pinnings on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On this Thursday, let's chat about the weather forecast with Mike Tenori. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thank you for being here. It seems to me that we may be at a very important juncture, and it's coming a little earlier, I feel like, than usual for crops in the United States. A whole lot of heat is supposed to come into especially the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, starting tomorrow. Can you tell me about that and then kind of your assessment of what the whole of the Corn Belt looks like?
Well, things are certainly changing because we've been in this cool pattern for the last 7 to 10 days, and it's breaking. It's going to turn a lot warmer from northwest to southeast over the next few days, and it will certainly feel a lot more like summer here pretty shortly. We'll see high temperatures in the 80s and 90s across a large area going forward. We don't think it's going to break in any significant fashion anytime after that. So pretty much turning warm and staying warm for at least 10 to 14 days. Now, of course, there's little caveats here and there that we need to discuss. The first one is an upper level system that forms in Texas this weekend. That's going to lift to the northeast as we move into next week and slowly move across the southeast half of the Corn Belt. This is a recipe for some showers and thunderstorms within a wide area. But the important thing to note is that it's going to be disorganized and only floating along in a very slow fashion. That's not a typical recipe for widespread and heavy rain. Instead, it's a recipe for cloudy skies, showers here and there, but not heavy rainfall. and it will be rather muggy with that setup. So we'll see high temperatures more in the 80s next week as opposed to the 90s, but those nighttime temperatures will be held up by that cloud cover. So lows in the mid-60s to low 70s, and that's why we'll be a lot warmer than normal next week. Now, at the same time that that's happening, which should bring a little bit of rain to the Corn Belt, the northwestern areas are still going to be dry into at least Tuesday or Wednesday. Now, they're bone dry in the Dakotas. The coverage of 180-day drought at the moment on the spring wheat crop is much higher than any day going back to 2014. So this is a really unusual situation, and it just shows you that we have a severe drought in place across the Dakotas. Now, we will see some thunderstorms here and there later next week and maybe even next weekend. But the way it looks at the moment, it looks like we're going to see some of these storms fire up and then just move on out. And that's not the type of situation you need to end a drought. So that's kind of the way it looks right now. Basically some rain here and there, not really too big of a deal. That takes us through the next 7 to 10 days. After that, it certainly looks a lot warmer than it even will be going forward in the western and northern growing areas. And that's because that upper level high is going to reassemble and turn most areas pretty hot once we get into, say, 10 to 14 days from now. The main uncertainty is in the eastern Corn Belt. There, it's not totally clear that we're going to be in a very warm to hot period, but it certainly isn't going to be cool. And most areas are going to be drying out quite a bit once we get into this period of time. So once you add all this up, Todd, I think the main point everybody needs to know is that they need to pay attention, because there's little rain chances here and there, yes. It looks pretty warm and even hot at times. And this is not a great recipe considering that the northern half of the growing belts are generally in a drought. So we'll just have to wait and see how this all pans out.
In the eastern part of the Corn Belt, are subsoil and topsoil moisture levels in condition that they can withstand some heat and dry conditions for a period of time?
Well, certainly, because it's been raining a lot in parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, you know, even into parts of Iowa and Wisconsin. But the longer term concern is that, unlike previous growing seasons, we're not going into this one with a real deep and widespread soil moisture profile. And it especially dries out once you get to the north of Interstate 80, and then especially once you get into the Dakotas. So that's where some of the warmest weather is going to be, in these northern growing areas. It's also where rain chances aren't the best going forward. So things could change rather quickly if we don't see a lot of rain over the next week. And then if our forecast is correct for the following week, which is where it will be drier and warmer than normal, and by another wide margin. That would take us into, say, June 15th to June 20th. And now you're getting closer to the key parts for the corn season, the key parts for the spring wheat season, and you're entering it potentially with a pretty dry and hot setup. So certainly all the pieces are there for things to turn more interesting and certainly more stressful for these crops. But there's still a week or two to go before we get there. So right now we're watching it. We're certainly concerned. All the pieces are there for things to start getting a little bit negative for crop development, but we just have to wait a little more to be certain about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, great being here.
That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media.